Good evening. As Ray said there, it's Hebrews 1:1-14. And Ray said I could give a little update on when we're planning to leave for Maine, and we are planning to leave this coming weekend. So this is the last time we'll be here for a while. But we love you. We love the church, and we'll be thinking of you, and we appreciate your prayers as we go to Maine to serve the Lord for a year. Reading from Hebrews 1:1-14. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus this evening. I just felt like I should share this with you because no one realizes at times who you touch. And as I mentioned this morning about the request to speak at this memorial service for this young man that was killed in an automobile accident, 22-year-old Brandon Sanders, his name is. His mother called me. It's been a little bit here, but he was cremated, and asked me if I remembered her, and gave me her name, and I had no idea who she was. And then she said, you prayed for me in the hospital one time. Okay. And she added a little more to it, and then I remembered. I didn't know how many years ago it was, but it came to be. I asked her, we met with the family yesterday, and she said it was 9 years ago. She actually lived with a man that we rented ground off of and farmed and had a stroke. And she was in the hospital, and she lost mobility in her right side and also lost her speech at that time. And he had asked me if I would pray for her, so I did. I don't know that I would have known the lady if I would have met her out in public somewhere. But anyway, it touched her somehow, and that's why she asked me to have this service for her son. And I was impressed. They don't go to church. She told me that. Her son had a few verses on an Instagram page that he had posted, and she shared those verses with me and wants me to speak about them at the service. And I thought that was pretty interesting. She said he did always carry a little Bible with him. So, again, I ask you to continue to pray that the gospel message would go forth clearly and that they would be open and receptive to that. Tonight I want to talk about angels. There's angels mentioned in this chapter that Brother Nathan read 6 times. And the title of the message would be Living in the Presence of Angels. When Richard Hendricks was 10 years old, his family lived in Carbon Hill, Alabama. His home sat on the edge of a forest where he and his friends often played, especially around the blown-down pine tree. Carbon Hill was a very small town, and everyone knew their neighbors at that time. Richard said that one day a complete stranger had come to their home and asked his mother if he could hunt snakes. He was carrying a rifle. He said his mother normally would have told this individual to come back when his father was home, but for some unknown reason, he said his mother gave him permission to hunt snakes. And he said they all had a good feeling that this individual belonged there at that particular moment and felt safe. So Richard watched as this man walked into the woods, walked directly to the fallen pine tree, as if he knew exactly where he was going. No one had mentioned anything to him. He heard some shots, and the stranger reappeared with 3 large rattlesnakes. He said one of which had 20 rattlers. Richard said he had shot them at the spot where they would have been playing very soon. The man walked down the road and was never seen again. They asked neighbors about this individual. No one knew him. No one saw him before. And no one saw him come or go. And Richard asked, was he an angel that had come to save the boys from the snakes? He says that he will never really know for sure, but he thinks that he was. In Colossians 1:15, we read, who, speaking about Jesus Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then we read here, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Angels are created beings. They were created by God. And there are good angels and there are bad angels. And the Bible mentions angels some 300 times in the scripture. Jesus said in Luke 10:18 that he beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. And then we read in Revelation 12 that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We believe that would mean that the third of the angelic host of heaven fell from glory at that point and are now Satan's agents to counter anything that the Lord Jesus wants us to believe, practice, and obey. Jesus, when he was here on earth in his earthly ministry in Matthew 25:41, says that he talks about the separation of the sheep and goats, but in Matthew 25:41 he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire, hellfire, was prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan and his angels, which we know as fallen angels or demons, those who are in total opposition to God's will and his purposes. Other angelic beings kept their integrity and are mentioned in the scripture as the holy angels. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then also in 1 Timothy 5:21, Paul charges Timothy, he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing but partiality. So they are referred to in the scripture, the angels that kept their habitation in glory, as holy angels, elect angels, and in the scripture that Brother Nathan read in verse 14, as ministering spirits. It seems as though there's always been an interest in the unseen realm of spirits, both in the holy angels and to the evil influences of wrong spirits, those in the world around us, and in, I'm going to say especially, I think, in the Hollywood actors and actresses clan, claim to maintain some contact with spirit beings and receive help from them. In fact, one of our recent president's wives was said to have been in contact with Eleanor Roosevelt and received direction from her while she was in the White House. There, I believe, is quite an interest in spirits or angels in our day, probably more so than what we realize. Could it be that it could be signaling that we are on the threshold of something bigger in God's timetable for this world? I don't know the answer to that, but the Bible is very clear that there is a spiritual realm outside of what we can see, as we read about there in Colossians chapter 1. 1 Timothy 4 says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. That almost reads like it could be a headline on the news today. Very fitting to our day. And John in 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we're to try the spirits. Are the thoughts that come into our minds from a spirit? I mean, are they in line with Scripture? Can we hold them up to the Word of God? And Jesus Christ is the Word. So we need to run them through the screen of the Word of God. There may be some that will mention God, but not the Lord Jesus, because they are antichrist. And the Father gave all power to Jesus after the resurrection miracle. Jesus says that in Matthew 28:18. He said, and he came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you know, I've mentioned before how that verse just intrigues me with the awesome power of Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is nothing that is out of his control. And we as God's children and followers of Jesus Christ really need to be careful in the world in which we live, who and what we listen to. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, It's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers or his angels also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There's a lot of different ideas out there, and we need to be really careful, because Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. But we know if he's held up against Scripture, he will not align with Scripture. Satan is a liar and the father of it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The demons of Satan, or his angels, oppose God and his people and deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God. 1 John 4:3 says that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That was back in John's day when he was writing this. It certainly is prevalent in our day. Satan and his angels slander God and his people and accuse the brethren. Revelation 12:10 says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So he is an accuser of each one of us before God. He's a deceiver. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I often wonder as I read some of those verses, that some of the people that we run into in the world aren't some of these angels that were cast out. Satan and his angels blinds the minds of men and women. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He plants evil thoughts. He and the evil angels plant evil thoughts in people's minds. It goes on today, just like it did back in Jesus' day. In Luke 22:2, it says, the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him. We know the story how they wanted to kill him and they ended up killing him, the Lord Jesus. And then also, verse 3 of Luke 22 says, then entered Satan into the Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Judas opened his heart up to Satan's influence and left him take over in his life and betrayed the Lord Jesus. If evil spirits are invited into a person's heart, they can take over a person's personality. Matthew 8:28 says, and when he comes, speaking of Jesus, to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Evil spirits can control a person if they're invited in. Evil spirits can also influence national leaders. John 12:31 speaks of the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He is called Satan in his realm, or is called the prince of this world. Back in Jesus' day in Matthew 2:16, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. How about men closer to our day, like Adolf Hitler, or maybe even Vladimir Putin, who don't seem to care about the lives of other individuals? Evil spirits can play a role in human illnesses. I don't think they always do, but they can. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we know that he prayed for that to be taken away, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. They also try to pervert the doctrine of grace. Paul warned the Corinthians of Satan's tactics against the gospel of Christ in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that is still something today we need to be careful about. Satan's tactics to take our minds away from what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. So how do we defeat this enemy? And he is an enemy. His host and all that belong to that realm are enemies. Jesus said that in Matthew 13:25. It says there in the parable of the sower, he says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when he explains that parable in verse 39, he says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Revelation 12:11 speaks of those who were martyred, and the way they overcame, it says there, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and their life, they loved not their lives unto the death. They were fully and completely given to the Lord Jesus Christ. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I think we can take that as a promise. if we completely submit ourselves to the Lord, to the scriptures, resist Satan, he will flee from you, the Bible says there. And I think that is one of the best ways that we can defeat Satan, a total submission to God. Verse 8 of James 4 says, we need to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, reminded them in Ephesians 6, a very familiar portion of Scripture, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we are admonished not to fear this absolute enemy that is before us. But Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can know that in the power of our Lord's might, that we can live a victorious life. But we must choose to put on the armor of God ourselves. Wherefore, take you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not an easy fight. And I know I'm talking to a group of believers that know that. It's hard sometimes, but we can be victorious. We can, by the blood of Jesus Christ, claim victory. And one way is through the belt of truth. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, since Satan and his demons depend on deceit and lies to maintain their power. The first line and the best line of defense is truth. Always be truthful, never distort or misrepresent the truth. And to find truth, we must be into the Word of God. And I believe on a daily basis. Jesus in his prayer in John 17:17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And also the writer of Psalm 119 in verse 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In the Word of God, it is the only place to find absolute truth. And then we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Any sin in our lives leaves an opening to demonic attacks, I believe. And we must do all we can to live holy lives. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Scripture says, before the Lord. I believe that there are spiritual beings that will help us live righteously and holy before God. Psalm 39, verse 7, and I'll read more there because when I read over that again, I thought, where do you stop sharing in that short chapter? It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That is, I believe, a source of comfort, that we can know that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see, he continues on there, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth him. O fear ye the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And then back in Ephesians 6:15, we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to have a firm stand, a firm footing in the gospel to defeat the enemy's tactics and attacks. Jesus, when he was tempted, used scripture against Satan's temptations. And then we are reminded in verse 16 to take the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And faith, in my definition, would be to believe beyond any doubt that God is in full control when the fiery darts are thrust at us. Then the helmet of salvation. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. I believe the helmet of salvation is your mind saturated with the Word of God? The helmet of salvation, I believe, for the sisters could be the covering. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." See, that would go along with being the helmet of salvation there. To have complete trust in the Lord, complete confidence in the Word. And then verse 17 also says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Again, the fact that being in the Word is where we'll find absolute truth, safety, comfort, consolation. And then in prayer, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, we say it at different times, we need each other's prayers, and we do. And more so, I think, as the time goes on. We just need each other. Too many times we find fault with each other, but I think we need to really pray for each other, earnestly pray. We're all tempted, we're all human, we all fall, and we do definitely need each other's prayers. Prayer, even in prayer, the spiritual realm is at work. You go back to Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks for understanding about future events. The Lord heard Daniel's prayer from the first day, it says there in the scripture, and sent an angel to deliver Daniel's request, but he was delayed for 21 days because of another evil angel until Michael the archangel intervenes, and then was the message delivered to Daniel. Daniel 10:13 says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." He prayed and fasted for 3 weeks to get a message that God heard him pray about, and it was held up by evil angels. So we can learn from that account that the angels do carry messages to God's people in the invisible realm. Angels, I think, can work invisibly and then also visibly. There are accounts like that of Walt Shepherd. You may have heard this before, I don't know, but he was depressed and ready to end his life over a broken relationship. So early one Sunday morning, he ran his sports car up to 120 mile an hour, when up ahead of him, he saw an abandoned car by the roadside and thought, "Here's my chance." He plowed into the back of the car. There was an explosion. Both cars burst into flames. And the manager of a nearby hotel heard the crash and called for help. Walt had been thrown through his windshield and was laying on the mangled engine, trapped there by the crumpled hood. Fire was blazing all around him. He lost consciousness. Help came to the scene. First responders came, and the fire was too intense to get close to the wreckage. As they tried to get close, they were amazed as they watched two figures walk up to the car without hesitation, pulling Walt from the flames. Then these two figures helped to load him in an ambulance, and they were gone. After the incident, the officers at the scene were trying to find these men to talk to them, possibly to write up more about the accident or the incident. No one could identify them. No one knew who they were. No one knew where they went. But they were gone. As the months of recovery stretched out for Walt, he got his heart right with the Lord. And he began thinking about all that had taken place. And his father said, "Son, I believe you were saved by two angels that night, so you would have the opportunity to get your heart right with the Lord." Angels do have supernatural power, but angels of the Lord will always stay out of the spotlight to bring glory only to the Lord. In the scripture, there's only one group of people that I know of that are specifically mentioned to not believe in angels at all. They are the Sadducees. Acts 23:8 says that the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confessed both. The first mention of angels in scriptures is in the scriptures is found in Genesis 3:24. After man sinned in the garden, it says that God drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. When God drove man from the Garden of Eden, he placed angels there to guard the tree of life. The last mention of angels in the scripture in Revelation 22:8, John says this, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. The angels of God will always point us to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never do they take credit to themselves for anything. The fact is that angels are mentioned all the way through the scripture, and that we live in the presence of angels at all times. They have different functions. They have different duties. The Bible speaks of cherubim and seraphim, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, ordinary angels, the archangel. Some are connected to war. Some are connected to worship. Some are connected to punishment. An example of that would be in 1 Chronicles 21:16, when David numbered Israel against the Lord's will. Verse 14 there says that there were 70,000 men that died at that time. 1 Chronicles 21:16 says that David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces and repented, and the Lord stayed the hand of the angel. Angels are ministering spirits. They can bring messages to mankind, like we said, but it seems like in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, it seems to indicate that the Apostle John was to write to the angels. In Revelation 1:20, we read the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the churches. And he starts out, each one of them churches, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, unto the angel of the church of Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? So it seems like God is commanding John in the Revelation to write to the angels, and for our admonition as well. Revelation 7:11 says that all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. The angels worshiping God. When my mother-in-law was in the hospital in the last days of her life, my wife and her sister stayed with her for days, and they had some interesting talks with one of the nurses there. The one nurse told them that she had lost a daughter at 8 years of age. And after that incident, as she was nursing, she was tending to an elderly lady who was dying. Standing in her room as she was dying, the lady asked her, "Who is that little girl standing next to you?" She said she looked, there was no one there. So she asked the dying lady what this little girl looked like. And she told them that she described my little girl in great detail. And the nurse believed that she was there as an angel. According to the scripture, in Luke 16:22, we read about the rich man and Lazarus. It says there, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And I believe when an individual dies in the Lord, that the angels are there to escort their spirit into the realms of glory. Unseen to us who are left behind. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, gave admonition to those that were listening to his message. In verse 53, he says, "You have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." That angered the people that he was speaking to. It says when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, as he was calling upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I believe that as he saw heaven open, the angels were there to carry him into the presence of Jesus as the stones hit his body. And so we live and die in the presence of angels. God bless you.